knows that tomorrow she will be in a cold garret. The lamp dreaded the morrow, for then it was to appear in the town hall and be inspected by the 36 council members to see whether or not it was fit for further service. It would be decided whether in the future the lamp was to give light for the inhabitants of some suburb, or perhaps for some manufacturing plant in the country, but it might go at once to be melted down in an iron foundry. In that case, it might become anything. But the lamp was terribly troubled, wondering whether, in some new state, it would remember it had once been a street lamp. In any case, the lamp would be separated from the watchman and his wife, whom it had come to consider part of its family. It became a lamp at the same time that he became a watchman. In those days, the watchman's wife was a little haughty. She would glance at the lamp only when she passed under it in the evening, never in the daytime. However, in later years, when those three, the watchman, his wife, and the lamp, had grown old together, the wife helped tend the lamp, clean it, and poured oil into it. The old couple were thoroughly honest. Never had they cheated the lamp of a single drop of oil. Now it was the lamp's last night in the street, and tomorrow it would go to the town hall. Those were two dark thoughts indeed, and it's no wonder the old lamp didn't burn very brightly. But other thoughts, too, passed through its mind. How many events it had lighted, how much it had seen of life, perhaps as much as the 36 councilmen put together. But it didn't really say anything, for it was a good, honest old lamp, and wouldn't willingly insult anyone, least of all those in authority. It remembered so much, and now and then its flame flashed up as if the lamp had the feeling, "Yes, I will also be remembered." There was that handsome young man. My, it was a long time ago. He came with a letter, written on pink paper, so fine and gilt-edged, so prettily written by a lady's hand. Twice he read it and kissed it, and as he looked up to me, his eyes said, "I'm the happiest person in the world." Yes, only he and I knew what was written in that first letter from his beloved. I also remember another pair of eyes. It's strange how my thoughts are rambling. Here in this street was a magnificent funeral procession, a beautiful young maiden lying in a coffin on the velvet-covered hearse. There were many wreaths and flowers, and the many torches quite overpowered my light. The sidewalk was filled with people who all followed the procession. But after the torches had passed me and I looked around, I could see one single person leaning against my post and weeping. I shall never forget the eyes that looked up at me then. Many thoughts flitted through the mind of the old street lamp, for tonight it shone for the last time. The sentry who was relieved of his post at least knows his successor, and may say a few words to him, but the lamp did not know who would succeed it. It could have given one or two useful hints about rain and mist, how far the rays of the moon lit up the pavement, and from what direction the wind blew. On the gutter plank stood three individuals who had introduced themselves to the lamp because they thought it was the lamp that could choose its successor. One of them was a herring's head, and because it could gleam in the darkness, it was sure there would be a real saving in oil if they would put him up on the lamppost. The second was a piece of touchwood, which also glowed, and certainly better than a herring's head, at least so it said. Furthermore, it was the last descendant of an old stem, once the pride of the forest. And the third was a glowworm. Where that had come from, the lamp couldn't imagine, but there it was, and it could give light, too. But the herring's head and the touchwood swore it could only do so at certain times, and therefore could not be taken into account. The old lamp said that not one of them gave enough light to fulfill the duties of a street lamp, but they wouldn't believe it. And when they heard that the lamp had nothing to do with appointing its successor, they were much relieved, and said the lamp was much too decrepit to make a choice. Just then the wind came tearing around the street corner and whistled through the air holes of the lamp and said to it, "What's this I hear? Are you going away tomorrow? Is this the last evening I'll see you here? Then I'm certainly going to give you a farewell present. I'll blow into your brain box so that in the future you'll be able not only to remember everything you've seen and heard, but you'll also have such a light within you that you can see all that is read or spoken in your presence." "Oh, that's way too much," said the old lamp. "Thank you very much. I only hope I'm not going to be melted down." "That won't happen right away," said the wind. "Now I'll blow a memory into you. If you receive several presents like this, you'll have a happy old age."